Kaatz Pashas Noyach.
Good morning. With your permission, I'd like to share with you some thoughts I had over the month of Tishrei. Even though the Yom Ne'orim are officially done, it's still Tishrei. It's still considered Dovah Be'itai, I think. So we're allowed to share some thoughts that were new to me this year, and they're relevant to anyway, so it's all Torah. So there's an interesting thing. The Gemara says that if you find that David HaMelech in Tehillim, whenever he had several ideas that were one train of thought, that were one mahalach, and he wanted to note to us, to show, draw our attention, that this is one chain of events or one train of thoughts, even though they appear separate. So what he did was, he started and he ended with the same thing. So you find, say, two kapitlach or three kapitlach that begin and end with a similar pasuk. That tells you, that draws your attention, that it's a circle or a cycle or a connection. And don't think that just because they're separate, that they're not, they're disconnected, they are connected. And that's a principle you find many times in the Torah itself, a parasha or a series of parashas. There's a beginning, that start a pasuk that uses a certain phrase at the beginning of an event, and several parakim later the similar phrase is used. You say that's a cycle of events. So it's interesting that the Yomim Noiroim begin with a certain event, and they end with a certain type of event, and it was new to me this year, a chiddush. What announces Yomim Noiroim? The shofar, the blowing of a shofar. Where at the end of the cycle of Yomim Noiroim do we have a similar event? Not quite that. Something blows. Mashivarach? Mashivarach? No. Sorry? Not the shofar then, Yukib, but that's not. It's not really part of it. It's a different thing altogether. It's different. Where else is there blowing at the end of the cycle of the Yom Noiroim? This is a hard riddle. So you need to put your thinking caps on. I know it's only 9:15 a.m. Where is there blowing? They're not. Sorry? Hakel. Do you blow by Hakel? Do you blow the. Is there something? By Shana Rabbah you do, yeah. There is such a minhag, yeah. Okay, the highlight of the Simcha Yisera of Sukkot is what? Simcha's Beis HaShe'eva, in the Beis HaMikdosh. Nisuch HaMayim, Simcha B'Zeh. And what is the word which Chazal used to describe that whole event is described in the Mishnah in one word? He? Cholil, the flute, the blowing of the flute. It's a fascinating thing, because it's not HaNisuch HaMayim. Okay, so the reason the Mishnah separates it out from Nisuch HaMayim is because Nisuch HaMayim takes place even when you don't. But the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva is called HeCholil, the flute of all things. And it's worthy of note that the Mishnah describes it as such, and it's also interesting to notice it's an act of blowing something. Could have said HaTupim, the drums, you make drums, or Kinoiros, or all other music. The blowing, it struck me as something worthy of note, and I wondered if we could draw a... Yes, oh, very good, excellent, I didn't think of it, but very good, excuse the pun. Yeah, worthy of note, yes. So I wondered if we could draw a mahalach, the train of thought in it, and I discovered that we could. So let's turn our attention now to something that Rav Hutner says about the Shir Shel Yom. We say on Yom Shishi, of Briyas Olam, Hashem Moloch Geul Slavesh, Hashem became king on Yom Shishi. Why did Hashem become king on Yom Shishi on Friday? What happened on Friday? Man. So Adam turned up, and without Adam there's no Malchus. Although we say Beterim Kol, that Hashem is a Melech anyway, but as far as the universe is concerned, without Adam to recognize and... Sorry?
Ein Melech
B'Layom. So the Malchus of Hashem didn't exist till Adam came along, and therefore Adam comes and elevates Hashem. So Hashem Moloch, Geus Lavesh, without Adam there is no Malchus recognizable in the world. Now it's interesting that with every other creation, the pasuk says vayivra or vayas. Does it say anything? Vayas alechim or vayivra? But with Adam, it doesn't say that. It says vayipach ba'apov, that Adam, the neshama, the life of man, came through an act of blowing into, breathing into him. Chazal say why vayipach? Because when you give the kiss of life, when you breathe from inside you. So therefore the neshama is the very intimately, deeply connected to the essence of Hashem somehow. And that's why yipach ba'apov nishmas chaim. So neshama, the soul, our neshama is the same word as neshima, breathing. It's the same word. And that's why Chazal say, how often should you, ideally, how often should we really be saying Hallel? Well, what's the word Chazal use? What, sorry? No, they don't say every second. What's the word? Alkol? Neshima or Neshima? Why not on every heartbeat? Alkol Defika Salev. But they isolate the word Neshima because it brings us back to the very first breath which gave a person, which gave human beings, which gave Adam their life. So the very first moment of Malchus of Hashem in the world was Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim, when Hashem took that big breath. The very biggest breath that ever happened in the history of the world was that breath when Adam came to consciousness. Now, it's interesting that when we anoint a king amongst Klal Yisrael, there's a specific halacha that you have to blow a shofar. The ikar is the blowing of the shofar. Why do we blow a shofar? You can blow trumpets, and I'm sure there's lots of musical instruments that you can blow to make it a good occasion. Why do we blow the shofar? And the Rav Huna says a very beautiful thing. It's interesting to notice how Lashon HaKodesh pairs off different words in the same. Very different things have the same word. Okay, for example, Erev and Orev. Orev, same word. There must be a connection between them. It cannot be a random idea that all these different, seemingly different things are co-located. Boiker, Bikocholim. Why Bikocholim? Well, what's Boiker the morning got to do with Bikocholim? So there must be a connection between them. Sorry? Is that the time to go in the morning? Not at night. Not in the evening. Definitely not. Okay. This is the best time to go. Okay, but there must be something more. I'll tell you this, by the way. Levaker means to be able to distinguish, to investigate something. Boiker is the time when the sun rises, so you can see the difference between things. Erev is the time where the world merges into one, because you can't differentiate between things. It's all mixed up. Because without light, you can't see things. So levaker means to investigate something, and that's what light means. So now let's take another word. Moshal. Moshal means a parable. It's a mashal. It's one thing is a reflection or a distant image of another. Okay? Moishel is a ruler. So why is a ruler a mashal? Why is a ruler a mashal? And Rav Huna says, because every king is a reflection of the kingship of Hashem. The king that we have, all authority that we have, is there as a dugma, a reflection of Hashem's malchus. And therefore, when a king sits on his throne for the first time, and he takes on rulership, we remind him that you are but a moshal of Hashem's. You're there to uphold Hashem's rulership, to reflect Hashem's rulership for us. So you, the moshal, are a moshal of Hashem. And therefore, we take the king back to the very first moment of Malchus by breathing in the shofar. The breathing in a shofar in a natural object takes us back to the very first breath. And it calls our attention, the koil ha-shofar, the call of the shofar, calls our attention to the first moment of Malchus in the history of the world, of the Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. And therefore, so Rosh Hashanah, Tchilas Ma'asecha, what's Rosh Hashanah, Tchilas Ma'asecha means? Not Brias Olam. Brias Olam happened before then. But it's the day of Yetzir of Adam. And therefore on Rosh Hashanah, we call out Hashem. It's Hashem calling to us, was the risk that I took worth the bother? When I created you, it was a question. There are lots of questions, and it's a risk to give people to give people life, and b'chir's a risk. And therefore, I'm calling you and I'm asking you, did I do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? So therefore, Kadesh Tamlichun Aleichem is Bamet b'shofar. Fine. So it's the blowing of the shofar calls our attention to the very first breath, to Vayipach ba'apov, and that is that moment. Good? Sorry? Why what? Because it's Hashem's object. It's a natural thing, so it's like Hashem's calling. Okay? Now, let's move on a little bit. So, you know how a goldfish goes around in the bowl? Have you observed the goldfish? Have you ever wondered how boring it must be? It's interesting, they go round and round. With a goldfish and a cat and a dog, there is no connection, really, between one moment and the next one and the previous one. There's no connection between any moment in their life. With a human being, life has a continuity to it. We're connected to the past, we're even connected to the future, we're connected to all sorts of dimensions, to our own past, to the past of our family, to the history of the world. What is it that in a man, in mankind, in human beings, which koyach is it that distinguishes from the disconnected life of the goldfish to the ultimately connected, time-wise, the life of human beings? What is that one koyach? There's one koyach inside us. Sorry?
Memory.
Memory, it is. It's the memory. A goldfish has no memory. So there's no connection between any moment and the other. A dog has no memory. So you can't say to the dog, why did you do this yesterday? Where have you come from? When you meet
a
human...
It's
a physical thing. It's an instinctive thing. It's not a memory as such. Yod Asher Kaneihu doesn't mean the Shor that has a memory of what it did yesterday. It's a certain pattern of routines, and it remembers familiar certain odors and sights and sounds, but it's not a memory as such. The Koyach of the Zikaron of the human being gives the person Suras Chaim. It gives us the reflection of our lives. It makes our lives into something worth living. Rachman Letzlan, once the memory is gone, then the person can be alive and functioning in a certain way, but it's not a life. They're not living. And that's the koyach of the zikaron that gives human beings the Tsuras Chaim, the functionality of life. It connects us to our whole past, from where have you come from? When we meet a person, it's not who you are. Where have you come from? Where did you go to school? What's your life all about? It connects us to the history of our family, to the context of our community, of our tzibur. It connects us to the collective history of Klal Yisrael, of the nation we belong to. And that is all down to the koyach of the zikaron, of the power to remember. The truth is, without the koyach of zikaron, you couldn't demand anything from anyone. You couldn't demand anyone should say, for example, do tshuva. Teshuvah, change yourself, comes from zikaron. See, this is what you did yesterday and the day before. Now you need to change it. Well, if there's no memory, if there's no connection, if there's no string that connects all of these dots called time that puts us where we are, why would you ever say teshuvah to anybody? There's no such thing. And therefore, zikaron is what, of all the koichas of das that we have, zikaron is that one that is the thread that strings all the beads together and makes it life that we are accountable for. Isn't it interesting, when Hashem wanted to create Adam, he asked the opinion of all. And he asked the Malachim amongst all, and the Malachim said, Mo Enosh. What is this Enosh? Enosh means weak. This weak little thing. There's no hope in this thing. Ki Tivra'enu. Ki Tivra'enu. Why would you want to... No. You're right. Yes, Mo Enosh Kisiz Karenu. What is man that you remember him? Now they didn't say Mo Enosh Kitivra Enu. Why did they say Kitiz Karenu? Because the Taina, the complaint was, you're going to create a creature with zikaron, and that gives that a chayim, a life that is so different to everything else that is a demand already. that gives it the ability to live and function in a different way to every other physical being. And therefore, the taina was, mo enosh ki tiz karenu. Why do you create something with this zikaron, with this power of memory, that will give it its unique status in its life? That's why they said so. And therefore, vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, that moment was the moment of the creation of the power of the memory that gives Hashem his malchus. And therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, when we stand at that moment, Hashem calls to us, Beshoifar, and he says to us, come back to this very first breath, and let's ask whether it was worth the bother, whether it was malchus that it's giving me my malchus, whether your zikaron, your power of zikaron that gives you your life, is well used, and therefore Chazal say that you say malchus kedei shetam lichuni zichreinos, particularly kedei shetal zichreinechem. Bamer b'shoifa, shoifa does both of those things, because that moment of vayipach ba'apov brought about these two very unique things that are intimately connected. So far, so good. Baruch Hashem. It's an interesting thing, however, that there is another moment of malchus mentioned by Chazal in the process of Briyas Olam. There's another moment of malchus. Now, if we were asking, where does the malchus of Hashem originate? If we had to pick another Adam, obviously Adam, when Adam comes, there's malchus. But if we had to pick another moment before that, where the malchus of Hashem starts to become recognized, or perhaps is the seed of it is already there, pick a moment. Pick a moment in Briyas HaOlam. Hashemesh leMemsheles. There's malchus there. There's a type of melucha. Sorry?
To become smaller.
Right, to make itself smaller. You could say that. What else could you say? You could say the moment of Yehi. That's already now potentially possible, a malchus. You could say all sorts of things. But Chazal identify one moment, and they identify this as the Yoim Sheni, where the waters were split. So there was water, and it's all one mush, one big, I don't know the description of it, it's all one entity, and Hashem split it into Mayim Elyoinim and Mayim Tachtoinim. And there, Chazal say, Chilek Maisav. On this day, Hashem divided the world into Elyoinim and Tachtoinim, Umolach Aleihem, and he became king over them. Now, if Chazal would have said, Chilek Maisav, that's it. But there is something in this separating the two Elyonim and Tachtonim that has the quality of Malchus in it. Why? What do you think? What do you suggest? Why is there the quality of Malchus because Hashem separated the Elyonim and the Tachtonim? What's the idea there? Now, remember, Malchus has to do with Adam recognizing Hashem. So what's the quality of Malchus? Is it that Hashem showed, I can split things up, divide and conquer? Is it divide and rule? Is it? Well, there's no greater quality of Malchus in that moment than the moment before when he says, Yehi, look, I can make it. So what in the Chilek Maisav is there that is the quality of Malchus before Adam came? So Rav Huttner says this, it's a seed. It's a seed for Adam. Because why is it that Adam is able to make Hashem king and say, you are the king, elevate Hashem? Because we struggle, we have Bechira. And therefore when we choose, that makes Hashem the king. That gives Malchus to Hashem. Why do we struggle? What's the cause of the struggle that we have? What is it? What makes us struggle between one thing and the other? And it is because we are Elyon and Tachtoin. Then Malachim don't struggle because they're Elyonim. The animals don't struggle because they're tachtoinim. But the human being is a bit of Elyon and a bit of tachtoin. And the friction between the two makes Bechira. It makes us struggle. That causes Bechira. And therefore, when we struggle and we overcome and we say you are the king, that gives Malchus to Hashem. So therefore Chazal say, the moment of creating an Elyon and a tachtoin, that is the first point at which Bechira became possible. even though it only appeared on the next day, a few days later, on when Odom turned up with his Bechira in him, but it became possible because now there's an Elyon and a Tachtoin, and therefore Chilek Maisov, because there's an Elyon and Tachtoin, that's the beginning of the Molach Aleihem. Now you'll remember that when Hashem split the waters and he made Elyonim and Tachtoinim, there was a big fuss, big objection. Who fussed? The Mayim. Mayim Tachtoinim. What was that complaint? We want to be next to the king. It's like at the Shabbos table. I want to sit next to Mummy. I want to sit next to Daddy. All the fights. You remember those days? Where are we going to sit? Who wants to sit near? Who's going to sit near who? Not near who? I want to be near Hashem, say the waters. Is that what the fuss was about? The fuss is obviously something a bit more fundamental than just we want to be there. And Be'etzem, the waters are saying, why do you make Tachtoinim at all? Why are you making them? It's such a risk. What a risk you're taking. Do you know what these Tachtoinim with their Bechira are capable of doing wrong? Do you know what could go wrong with this risk? Is it worth the bother? Maybe you'll get some tzaddikim. Is it worth it? That's the complaint of the Mayim Tachtoinim. And so what does the Medrash say? The Medrash says, Hashem said, that you're going to be on the Mizbeach, where? Nisach HaMayim and? Melach, yes. Do you know where the Medrash is? If you want to find the Medrash, it is quoted in Rabbeinu Bachai and Parshas Vayikra. Okay, when he talks about putting Melach on it, Rashi brings it over there, and Rabbeinu Bachai quotes a full Medrash. Although I've looked for the Medrash, I can't find it. Maybe I just don't know how to read the address properly. So the waters end up coming back on the Mizbeach. In other words, Hashem says to the water, you're right, you have a very strong complaint. Why would you make a Tachtoin? Nevertheless, it's going to be worth it, and you'll be the witness to it being worth it. You're going to come onto the Mizbeach. On a regular occasion, you'll be on the Mizbeach, because that will be your reply. That will show you that it was worth the bother. How does it show us it's worth the bother? Nisach HaMayim shows us that it's worth having created a person with Bechira. How does it show it? It's got to show it somehow. So Rav Huttman explains the following idea. You know, you have people who are loyal to you, and they're your friends, and they're your supporters. And then people have opposition. They're people who oppose you. There is one thing that the people who oppose you can give to you that the friends and supporters can't give to you. Let's say the Prime Minister. Prime Minister has a lot of loyal advisors and associates and loyal colleagues who are always loyal to this idea, this person. And then the Prime Minister has the opposition. There is one thing that is possible for the opposition to give, because they're in opposition, that the loyal ones can't. And that is kavod, honor. Because when the loyal ones agree to you all the time, they support you. But when someone opposes you and then says, by the way, on this you're right, now you have kavod. Kavod is something which you really only get from people who you've had friction with, have had opposition from, because when they give up, and when they say, I think you're right, I admit to you, now that's already a whole different thing. Rotzen, the fulfillment of my will, my friends do. Covered, they don't give me, because they're my friends, they're always with me. It's only those who are far away and turn around, that's covered. And therefore Hashem says to the Mayim Tachtoinim, Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu elam alebara lelechvoidai. He sent them far away because it's dafka from going away, from being far from Hashem. And then when they turn around and they come towards Hashem, that gives the covered to Hashem, and that's the purpose of it. And therefore, Nisuch HaMayim on the Mizbeach, and the salt as well, the salt is the same thing. The salt is a preservative. It's where we come, we give a korban, we express a certain wish, and we put salt on it to express the feeling that we don't want this to be a passing phase. We want this wish, this desire that we have, to be a long-standing something that will persist and not disappear like a passing dream. So it expresses the idea that people go, we've gone away from Hashem, but we've done teshuva, we do teshuva all the time, we come closer to Hashem, that is the kavod. And that's the Simcha Yisera of Sukkos, because that gives the kavod to Hashem. And therefore, at the time when we answer, the Mayim Tachtoinim answer their complaint, and they say the Bria is worth it, because it does give kavod to Hashem. When people do serve Hashem in all circumstances, and they come close to Hashem even after having been far away, so that is their answer to Hashem. That's Hashem's answer. And at that moment, we blow the flute. We blow a chalil. This is our blow back to Hashem. So the shofar is Hashem blowing to us. Vayipach ba'apov. Did this moment, was it worth the bother? And the chalil of teshuvah says, yes, it is worth the bother. That breath was worth it, because it's what brings us close to Hashem, and it gives us the kavod. Fine. Yes? So is that? Yeah, okay. There was something else I was going to say, but I didn't write it down, so I've forgotten. Okay, so there's the beginning and the end, the connection between the chalil and the shofar, and those are the mayim elyonim and tachtonim. Very good. I think we've got a bit of time, so I'll end off with another idea that I saw, that I learned it. It inspired me very, very much, and I'd like to share with you. It's a different subject altogether, but it's a beautiful thing. You know that Chazal say that there are three Sforim. There's Tzadikim Gemurim, there's Rishoyim Gemurim, and there's Beinonim. The Beinonim are such a problem to understand what it means to be a Beinoni. What does it mean to be a Beinoni? What does it mean to be a Beinoni? Mechza, mechza, half-half? There is a Mama Chazal which says that a person should always consider themselves half-half, and you should always do it and make yourself another mitzvah, because it might tip the balance. But that's not what... is that what this means? Is that what the Beinoni is, the one who is Mechza, Mechza, so you should do an... It's a very, very difficult thing, Bechlal, to understand. Because if it's a matter of number, that changes the whole time. Now I'm a Beinoni. In 5 minutes' time, I'll be a Tzadik Gomor. 10 minutes after that, I'll be a Rosha. Chas v'shalom. Could be. As you go through the day, your number is constantly changing. Every minute I'm at Tzadik, I'm a Rosh, I'm a Beinoni. How does it work if it's a matter of numbers? It's a very difficult thing to understand. So what Chazal mean when they say a person should consider themselves, it's an important attitude to have, that this mitzvah might be the very most important one I'll ever do. So always consider this one to be the one. But is that what the Beinoni is? Is that what the Beinoni is tolling what I made? So let him go do a mitzvah. Put tefillin on tomorrow morning, shine, finished. Say Lashon Hara afterwards, also finished. You know, go to Bit of Gnes Chesed, now he's a Tzadik Gomor. The numbering of this is very difficult to understand. So Rav Amos said something that struck me, and I want—it's worth sharing at any time of year. So it is still Tishri, two more days. So I'll share with you now. But Derek Klal, we say a person. Let's say, for example, is a very, very not angry person. This person's not a balkas; they're not an angry person. However, it happened that this person got angry. It could be this person is in a very bad mood all week, and this week they're getting angry the whole time. Does that take away from the fact that they are not a balkas? Avada not. A person's tchuna, they are not an angry person. Could be you'll find them in a bad tkufa where they're getting angry, but that doesn't take away from them not being a balkas. It's not a contradiction. And the opposite is also true, but derechal, this person is a very angry person, is always irritable. You happen to find them in a matzav where for some other reason, they're not getting angry in these few days, in this tkufa. But derechal, they are. So therefore, Rav Hutner says this, the tzaddik is not someone who has not done averus or doesn't even do averus. The tzaddik is someone who identifies with Hashem, and identifies with doing the will of Hashem. Even if for a certain tkufa they happen to be doing averus, and a tkufa might be more than just a day or two, it could be a person's in a rut in a certain area, in a certain field. And they just can't get themselves out of it. But that doesn't mean they don't identify with doing the rots in Hashem. That person is a tzaddik, even if they happen to be doing a matzav of avera right now. And the opposite is true of a Rosh. A Rosh is someone who doesn't care about Hashem. It could be that they're doing a very mitzvah right now. That doesn't mean they're not a Rosh. So the identification of the person and how they see their lives and their mahalach hachaim is not dependent on what you're doing right now. It's the general mahalach of their whole life. And therefore the Beinoni is the person who doesn't care either way. He's not identified themselves with Hashem or against Hashem. Whatever comes. I haven't committed myself to either team. I'm a swing voter. I'll vote either way depending on the mood. And therefore, Rav Huttner says, the Gimel Sforim do not mean how many mitzvahs the person has done, or even if they've done an Aveira right now. It's the attitude to the whole of their Avodas Hashem and their general direction of their life. That's what a tzaddik and a rosha is. The Beinoni, therefore, is the person who doesn't care either way. And therefore, the Rambam says this. Shloisha sorim niftachim, tzaddikim gemurim, nechtonim la'alta, beinoinim tzluim va'imdim. So Chazal used the words Zochu Nechtomim Lechayim. If they are Zoicha, they go find in life on Yom Kippur. But the Rambam changes that. The Rambam says Osu Tshuva. If they do Teshuva, then they become they get signed. Now the way the Gemara said it, Zochu would have meant just do another mitzvah. Make sure that your numbers are stacked the other way. What's Osu Tshuva according to the Rambam? But that itself is what needs Tshuva. That you're a Beinoni. That you haven't identified firmly with this camp, with Hashem. You're sort of still walking down the middle of the road. You're not convinced either way. And that's why the Rambam changes it to Osu Tshuva. And therefore, when a person looks at themselves, let them not think just because I happen to be doing Averis, I've done an Avera, that makes me Rosha. It could be a person sometimes goes through a tkufa of weakness. It could be. It could last a while. But that person is identified with Hashem and is doing their utmost in everything. That makes them, puts them firmly in the book of Tzaddikim Gemurim. Because it's not the word, the numbers, and so on.
Very good. Now,
yes, it's very good.
It's
a good point.
Yeah,
excellent. Thank you. It didn't occur. Shkach. And therefore, now that Tishri is coming to the end, we're heading off into a long, another year of good hard work and lots of mitzvahs and good things to achieve. May Hashem fulfill all our aspirations, and we should be zeicha to have a very good year in all respects.
Amen.